Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
A lot of talk around what we expect from Sun, and I was asking you your questions earlier. If I had to ask for two of the most critical aspects that should be addressed this afternoon, what would they be? We've had a few different answers, and it is quite interesting to see what they are. Peter Fine, a little bit earlier, said employment and Eskom. A few of you are talking about security, corruption, all sorts of things. If I had to ask you two of the points that you would like to see highlighted at SONA, what would it be? What about food security? We know that an unacceptable amount of South Africans are living in very dire conditions and trying to manage increased food prices, a increased instability in terms of food. What does the future for Africa's food security look like? We wanted to ask people who work in the field and understand this more than most. Lindsay Hopkins, KZN Operations Manager at SA Harvest, thanks for joining us this morning. How are you?
Hi, fine, thanks, and you?
Excellent, thank you. In an ideal world, well, we don't live in an ideal world, so let's just scrap that as a question. What can we do to improve food security in Africa?
We need to make the small-scale emerging farmers the heroes of the story again. We forget that what keeps us alive is food and water, mm-hmm. yet they're being absolutely squashed out by large-scale farming, commercial farmers and retailers. So they've got no chance at this stage.
So explore that a little bit further. Why aren't we, what are we doing that isn't supporting this part of the community?
Well, unfortunately, it does start at government level. We really need government to come down hard on this and just get involved. They're not worried that they're not looking at this food security system as a whole, so it's creating this insecurity around the food. And the small-scale farmers are so necessary to keep small communities alive and going. I mean, the heart of communities is around agriculture. You've got to have plumbing, you've got to have electricians. There's all sorts that goes into farming. It's not just about a spade and some seeds that they go farm. There's so much more education and awareness around this. We've got about 15,000 unemployed graduates in the agricultural sector every single year in this country. And that's a frightening stat when you think of how much land we've got freely available for these guys to be creating farms. But we need help from government because we need water supplies and things like that. So, you know, at the moment, and going back to retailers, they've got big commercial farms that are just pushing out food. You know, you always want to call it battery-styled fruit and veg. I live in Durban, and I know that big food liners are driving fruit and vegetables down from Johannesburg. They're actually driving them down from there, and that's crazy. Right. So when you talk about green miles, there's no reason for fruit and veg to be driven down from Johannesburg in a big truck, which is just releasing terrible carbon emissions and climate change, when we've got small-scale farmers sitting right here in KZN.
When did all this change? Because I would even imagine, that in the past, and I don't know when that past was, this was the norm, that there were these smaller types of farms that would supply a village, and you'd have a lot of these throughout a region.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'd hate to bring into politics, but governments have got to say they can change, and it's just become greed and money, and the retailers can just throw money at the situation, and nobody's thinking about the long-term effect and results. I mean, the consequences are massive, and there's a huge connection to climate change, like your green miles. The guys that are driving for hours to get, also the markets. You've got massive big city markets. And unfortunately, those guys play the farmers off on each other. You've got cucumbers. Okay, you've got cucumbers. Okay, both drive. And then, okay, he's going to take fiber. And eventually, they're just pushing the price so low and not being fair to the farmers. The farmers just leave with an empty truck and say, well, you know, keep my veg, thanks. See what you can do. And when they don't sell them within a few days, then they phone the farmer back and say, well, now we need to move it off to landfill, and we're going to charge you again for that. So it's just the transportation links as well. I mean, it starts at the agriculture. Soil erosion, there's no investment around, you know, crop rotations and things like that. There's no access to healthy water. We know that mostly all of our farms can be just water fed. We've got so much water in this country, and it's not captured well. And the, we're ending up with drought. So we it started that again at a municipal level, which so it's a government level. It's very short-sighted.
I heard somewhere, and I don't know if it's true or not, that we don't actually have a food shortage. We've got a logistics problem. Would you agree with that? Or a distribution problem?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, at the moment, for going to landfill, we've mentioned this before, we've got 10 million tons that's recorded at landfill. But that's the food that's making it to landfill. And from agriculture, so from farm to fork, we lose at least 30% of that food.
That's criminal.
So we're looking at like 40 million tons every year in this country.
That is absolutely, and that can be solved. It can be redirected. It can be changed in if people are able to sustain the areas that they're living in.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just local markets. We've got a local market right here where I live. And I go down every single Sunday and I buy, and it's half the price.
I'm sure.
There's less plastic and packaging on it. Right. And while it doesn't look perfect, it's actually often juicier. You don't need a big, fat, extra large cucumber, for example. Yeah. The small, narrow ones are much more crunchy and sweet and tasty. So we've just got to change our perception mindset as people that are buying. And we've got to just steer away. I'm sorry to the retailers. We've got to steer away from them and look for localized options to go get our fresh food. It's the same as what happened with rainbow chicken. They're all being shut down because we started importing chicken. Now we've cut that. We don't import chicken anymore. Now there's a shortage of chicken in this country.
It's absolutely crazy. So what can, before I let you go, what would you like government to see from government? Because the power does sit with them in this regard.
Absolutely. I don't want to shut down big commercial farms. I'm employing lots and lots of people, but there should at least be a percentage breakdown. They have got to resurrect the small-scale farmers. We've got to start small-scale entrepreneurial development that supports the localized food production, and then utilizing waste transformation techniques that helps keep down the waste that's going into the environment, because that leads to its own problems. And then just look at sustainable systems, and you will reduce operating costs, because if we just create a better link for local distribution, you don't need to drive trucks down from Johannesburg to Durban full of food. Let's look at our local food system and work out. Government has got to get involved in supporting local emerging farmers.
Absolutely right. That is where we leave it. It is 8:39. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM.